this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk some more about auditions and what it means when casting directors say they want you to make strong or unique choices. I'll explain. Actors say to me, you know, casting directors around here say that you've got to make interesting choices, or I'll hear that you have to be different. You know, you have to do something that's going to stand out. Okay? But primarily it's this idea that you have to be very interesting. You know, you have to make interesting choices. And you have to be dynamic. And you have to take chances. And, you know, all of that stuff makes perfect sense. I mean, I think you'd be sitting there going, well, duh. How else do you get the crown? Yes, exactly, of course. And when you hear it, it makes such perfect sense. Then what? Then what do you do? So now you're going to work on the scene, but you're going to do something different. You're saying this is dangerous. And let me tell you, though, where this really comes from. Casting directors, I think even great casting directors who really know their stuff, don't necessarily have a correlating kind of vocabulary that would really help actors in its descriptions, you know, and in inspiring them on the exact right path. In other words, they'll have an idea, they'll see what they normally see, and then they'll address it with language. And so you see boring auditions all day long, perhaps, you know, ones that are just laying there like a dead fish, and they look at that and they say things like, look, you've got to make interesting choices. You've got to be dynamic. You know, you have to take chances. And all of those things, you know, really, as far as the English language goes, makes sense. You say, yeah, that would address this dead fish laying there problem. Any one of those three would absolutely get this fish swimming, perhaps, and interesting, of course. It's like these platitudes that make so much sense when we hear them, you know, in acting, you know, all the acting platitudes. And you can't deny them. They all make sense. But you see, how do you do them? And what are they really addressing? You see, and since art and acting and all of this is subjective, it's kind of hard to say. But here's my theory. If a casting director sees anything that is not interesting, of course, they're going to tell you to do the opposite. And they may have many ways to say that. The problem is what does it mean? And what does it do for you? What do you do now? Boy, that's a heavy burden. So now you're going to do the scene, but with this added thing of make it interesting. So you now pursue interesting, make it dynamic, take a chance. You know, that's such an arbitrary line. Take a chance? What does that mean? Could I just wear like a crazy shirt? Could I, you know, have multicolored pants? What does it mean? Shall I just, maybe I'll wear an eye patch. And I'll say, hey, why couldn't this fellow, you know, just have one eye and he'd have an eye patch? Maybe that'd be interesting. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I could have a little affliction. Maybe I could have a little speech impediment. Maybe perhaps I have an odd limp or a walk, or maybe I'm blind. Maybe I'll just come in with a cane and tap around and sit down, and it'll be so unique that they'll say, God, wait, we should have thought of that. Make this character blind. You see, what's happened is we're now in pursuit of trying to get attention. And it's cheap. And it's based on nothing other than, you know, some sort of fireworks. The problem is, to what end? To what end? So you're going to be interesting? Okay, but related to what, you see? And this is the distraction. I guarantee you, from having sat in the room and had actors come in, you know what we want? We want the most interesting, dynamic, chance-taking choices made in relation to what the scene is. And only that. In other words, we'd like the work to be as authentic, as dynamic, as interesting as those words and that situation could possibly be on the planet. That would be great, sure, absolutely. But the point of the exercise can't merely be trying to do those three things. One of them, all three of them. To simply try to make your scene more interesting, more dynamic, take more chances for the sake of it, and not how it pertains to the message in the scene and what you're doing in the scene, you know, it's cheap. It's a cop-out. Listen, anyone worth anything, that's not what they're looking for. Generally, actors are so worried about making a mistake or coloring outside of the lines or not being, you know, authentic that their work is very small and safe. And I always say kind of works in this narrow bandwidth. You know, it's not too high. It's not too low. It's fine. It makes sense. I understand. You know, you don't look like a fake guy or gal. You know, it's fine. But I always observe that even in the simplest of scenes, when I'm in everyday life, that stuff goes down. It's way more interesting and exciting. People, just by the way they are, just by their nature, having friends and, you know, being in society, I think they're far more entertaining than the characters that they're portraying, because they pull in, they tighten up on the reins, you know, they don't want to make a mistake, and so everything is just kind of safe. In real life, when people express themselves, even in simple situations, I find them to be way more vibrant and interesting and fascinating and, yes, dynamic and everything they could possibly be, I suppose. It would just be you doing your best to get your points across, to win the thing you want, to make yourself understood, to entertain the people at the party, to do whatever it is you're doing in the scene. I find that most people in life are much better at it because, well, they really want to be. You know, they want to win friends and influence people. And I think in life, people's personalities are a lot more effervescent because they're not afraid of coloring outside of the lines and they don't have to worry about getting it wrong or right. They're just really, if they can possibly be, to the extent that they can possibly be, they're in tune with their instincts. And so they pursue their line of questioning and or their answers or, you know, their explanation or their story with the same verve and excitement that they would in life. And generally, I find that to be far more interesting than when I watch an actor's rendition of same. See, what I'm getting at is I think that if people really pursued the topics, the discussions, the questions, the answers, the things that are in all scenes, the same way they do in life, I don't think casting directors would be saying, oh, you got to be more dynamic, you got to be this, you got to be that, you got to be this. In life, I just, when people are talking about, it's especially stuff of consequence, when things are going down, when, you know, I'm listening to somebody telling me what happened to their family, their kid, their dad, their mom, their job, and they're telling me these things, or they're telling me about an argument, or this or that, I swear to you, the one thing I never think is, you know, this person has to be more interesting, they've got to make it more interesting choices, they've got to be more colorful or entertaining. I can't think of a time. It just doesn't seem to ever cross my mind. What am I saying? I'm saying that when this stuff is, when you're at your level best of really communicating and that what you're talking about or whatever's going on is more important than being in some stupid scene in an audition, I think that your work then raises to a level that will never again be challenged with, you know, questions of, you know, could he have made it more entertaining? Could it be more, you could have made some more clever choices, you know? Think about it. Think about those times when you've been in situations in life when there was some sort of tumult or something was going on or whatever. I mean, aren't you consumed by it? Don't the people telling the stories, aren't they telling them well? I mean, do you ever think to yourself, yeah, this guy's got to make some stronger choices. I can barely keep my eyes open. Hey, are there boring moments, slices of life things? Yeah, we usually don't film those things, so I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about when it's hitting the fan, when things are going down, when you got to tell your story, when, you know, whatever most scenes are. I find those situations in life to always have, you know, snap, crackle, pop, and sometimes, like, too much. Don't you? My point, I think that we have to pursue what's going in the scene. You know, we really have to go at the stuff. We really have to make the stuff important. We cannot hinder our instincts or hold back or worry about getting things wrong. We have to learn to train ourselves to attack the matters at hand, at least with the same energy, focus, and concern that you would in life. I think if you do that, I don't think casting directors are going to be saying things like, you know, you got to make interesting choices and la, la, la. Those phrases are the cure-all phrases for what is otherwise just bland, boring, or bad acting. In life, if I were pursuing something very important, let's say I was going to a very important meeting, I'd most certainly be thinking about trying to make a strong impression, you know, being different in the best possible way, making strong choices, in the sense I'd be wanting to make a strong impression. Certainly, all of those things. But I would never focus on those things as just sort of a general directive. No, but I might sit around and think about precisely why I should have what I want and precisely why they should give it to me. I might gin up all my ideas in my mind of, you know, why these things are so important and my best argument and why I have it coming or, you know, whatever. I would think about that. I would enhance that. I would think about, you know, how far I'd be willing to go about it and why I'm holding all the great cards. And I would go over all that stuff that I think would just make me in the meeting organically as fascinating and as righteous and as right as I could possibly be. But you see, that all has to do with the direct message. It's not just some little solo act I'm doing in order to try and, you know, maybe I can get their attention with these bright colored silk scarves if I wave them. Smart people know that's what's happening. If I'm watching an audition and I see somebody trying to do some shtick so that I will look at it and go, whoa, that's different, has nothing to do with the movie or the character or anything else in this city block, but wow, look at that. That stuff, you know, can be off-putting because, of course, it can look desperate. And like, why didn't you spend that much time just really trying to think about what's going on in this movie we're trying to make or the TV show? You too busy planning out this little thing here that would supposedly be something really interesting, but it doesn't really pertain, or I don't think it's useful to the scene. You know, I use this phrase, soloing. I use it more and more in acting. And this to me is like when, you know, you get these very clever actors and they're kind of playing off each other, but they're playing off each other in a way that, like, when people have dance-offs, like when street dancers have dance-offs. And yes, they're there and they dance in tandem and, you know, one right after the other, but they're kind of soloing. It's just about their thing at that moment. So I'll see actors who are trying to be very clever. What they'll do is they'll kind of solo, and it'll be about the way they're busting their particular moves in this particular moment and the little experience that they're having with their self. And it cheapens it for me because I think you two actors are just kind of soloing, you know, you're just kind of busting acting moves back and forth. And I see how one, you know, correlates to the other. I understand how that would follow that, but it's not like in life. We don't just go off on a little solo track all of a sudden and have our little moment, you know, kind of almost like, you know, 90% void of the other person standing there that I'm presently communicating with. That's not how it works. That's what happens with acting. That's when actors want to have their little dance off, but with acting. Now you go, now I'm going to show you my shit. And it all kind of makes sense, you know what I mean? Just like the styles of dance would kind of make sense as you see them side by side. You know we're on the same city block. But it's not for the sake of communicating. It's not what you're doing and your fancy whatever isn't in direct correlation with enhancing this particular moment to your benefit. So you want to get fancy, you want to do things, you want to take chances, you want to be extreme, you want to, you know, make interesting choices. Then I say, make sure it pertains to the idea that you are trying to enhance the possibility of getting what you want, of mining from that particular conflict the things that you want. Make sure it has to do with that. If it does, then fine. Whatever choice you make, just think in terms of, okay, for the sake of me getting what I want in the scene, does this make sense? What could it happen? Could something like this go down without it seeming like some sort of acting stunt that I'm doing? And does it pertain? Does it help, you know, gin up my chances of getting what I want? I mean, that to me, if it can fall in that spectrum, then sure. But what you've got to always be thinking about, and that's what I want to see when people come in and do scenes, is it's the pursuit of the truth of the thing in the scene is number one. Not the pursuit of trying to get an acting job, not the pursuit of trying to get an acting job by being clever and doing things differently, and maybe I'll notice you and I won't forget you and you'll finally, a little pathetic actor will get a job. No, don't do that. Speaking of auditions, I just got an email from someone today asking me, hey, I've heard that if you know, going in for taped auditions in front of producers and directors, that when you hold the script in your hand, they tend to look at it more like a work in progress and not a finished performance. You know, this old folklore has been around for a long time, and no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works at all, of course not. We don't care about that. We're watching you, and we're deciding, A, if you look right, A, if you look right, and B, do you have acting chops? We don't look at you holding the script and then think, wow, you know, that was not bad. Imagine what they could do with the script not in their hand. We don't handicap the performances. We don't grade it up, you know, well, it'd be at least 30 to 37% better without the script. You know, no, you're taking your best shot. That's how we look at it. Why? Well, because you could have worked on the script for 10 days straight. You could have this thing backward and forward and then hold the script and then trick us into thinking, well, hire this person, look how great it is now. Imagine another 38%. No, we can't take the risk of, you know, making a mistake of your, you know, capabilities. We just have to look at what you do and think, okay, well, this right here may be all we're going to get. Is this good enough for us? And then whatever we get extra is great. But we hire people on what we see them do in the room. So do not hold back. Whether you're holding the script, not holding the script, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. If you told us, if somehow we found out you just got the script, you know, 3 hours ago, we're still not going to try and add to your performance. We will decide whether you look right for the part and whether or not you have acting chops. So you need to bring your chops into the room. That's it. That's it. And you just count on the fact that you're going to get appraised for the very thing you did when you did it. That's it. So let's dispel that little myth. When I was in Australia recently, I had just done a 2-day intensive in Melbourne. And one of the people that studied with me decided that she would also like to take the Brisbane one. So I went from Melbourne to Adelaide, and she thought she would go up and do another weekend with me when I was in Brisbane. And I mentioned that to someone because they knew the person, and some other actors overheard it and said, oh, hold on a second, I don't understand. She took the 2-day with you in Melbourne, and then she's going to fly up to Brisbane? I said, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in the country here for a month, so I guess that's what she wants to do, get another 2 days. And she says, well, what more is she going to learn? I mean, what more can you do for her? Didn't she kind of get it in the 2 days? What more would she get? Interesting idea there, you see. As if it's a finite amount of knowledge that you would get, and then you're good to go. You know, that's not what acting is. To me, acting is like any kind of martial art or boxing or any kind of physical sport. It's like anything, really. It's like being a musician. It's anything. You have to keep doing it. What you have to realize about this idea of if you can find an environment, look right there, you might just be out of luck, because, you know, if you can't find the proper environment, then yeah, you know, watch Netflix and read and experience life and, you know, read scripts and things on your own, I suppose. But if you had a great environment where you can actually go and your work would be enhanced, okay, wouldn't stall, it wouldn't go backwards or sideways or get confused, but you could actually sharpen your skills like any good dojo, any good gym, any place where anyone goes to practice their thing. Obviously, it is a lifetime. The idea that you could ever finally achieve some sort of mastery to the point that there would be no other aspect to master in your particular field, of course, is absurd. With regard to auditions, I think that where actors benefit is that, of course, it's like being in a dojo and you're working jiu-jitsu or judo, or you're constantly throwing moves, having moves, counter moves, you're just constantly working, you're like oily and you're trying to do stuff and you're doing interesting scenes and you're sharpening your skills. Well, of course, it just makes sense that not only is that a lifetime to learn, because it's not just some little, three-step thing. You put your foot here, there, there, here, there, there, here, there, there. I mean, come on, this is a lifetime of understanding human behavior. The idea of working out is just to constantly, like any athlete, just sharpen your skills, with this added bonus that then when you get called, up to go into an audition or go on to a set, man, you have been like working out in the dojo all the time. You're slick. Your body's ready. It's warm. You know what to do. You're better than you were the last time because you were doing scenes at least as interesting as the jobs that you would get. And you are working them, reworking them, going over them, trying this, trying that, picking up the new scene. Oh, of course. I mean, for those of you that think that that might be the deal, you'll figure it out, you'll read a book, and then you'll go do it. It can happen. But you can never discount the importance of constantly working on your craft, of finding a dojo, finding a gym, a place where you can go and work on it and have, the type of positive, correct feedback so that you can just keep working on your stuff and memorizing lines and doing it. This has got to be your life quest. It is the thing that'll keep you ready. It would be like, thinking you're going to be a sword fighter and you never practice. And, oh, yeah, I got called up. I got to go get a sword fight later today. I mean, good luck. Whether or not you just worked professionally recently or not, the fact that you can go to a place that is of a professional nature where you work on professional scenes with professional people and get professional feedback, of course you want to do that. The problem is finding those places. And honestly, wherever you are in the world, if you can't quite find something that you feel is up to snuff, or that, it just turns lights on for you when you leave, you feel inspired. If you don't have one of those places, then don't. Then don't. Then you're on your own. Then, just watch lots of movies and, think about the arts and stuff and watch people. And, there are many ways that you can enhance your skills and always be ready to go in for an audition so you feel like your muscles have been moving. You see, this is what's important. You don't want to atrophy sitting around and then just trying to fight any sort of, creeping bitterness to then go in and, try and knock it over the fence and twist your back out. It's better to always be ready, whether you're just trying to memorize stuff too and see how close you can get. And any skills you can do where you were working those muscles out, I think until the end of time, I think the better off you could be. Even when you become a star, just to be able to work things out in between jobs, to be thinking about stuff, to be able to looking at work, things you want to do. I think that's just going to keep your acting muscles supple, if you will. All right, so there it is. Three things that can be somewhat useful. Never be distracted when you hear that you're supposed to go in and be interesting or make strong choices or be unusual or do something different. Just go in there and play your best game. Do your best job in the scene. You go after that scene for all the right reasons, with all the snap, crackle, pop that you have. Make all of the stuff that you do pertain to getting that thing in the scene, never about just for the sake of trying to attract someone's attention. Holding a script, not holding a script, no one cares. Just deliver the goods, man. That's what you have to do. That's it. That's all they care about. And finally, whenever possible, just keep on doing it. Keep doing things. Keep reading plays. Keep thinking about it. Keep working on it. Keep memorizing. You know, if you can find a great, you know, an acting dojo, you know, then you go to it. And if you can't, then you just sort it out on your own. But do not become complacent. You don't want those acting chops to atrophy, especially when you get that big call for the big break. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.